All right. It is Friday. It's been a while since we have been here, but we are back finally on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you're tuning in on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch, or if you're one of our many podcast listeners on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many others, we're glad to be back. But the reason that we took some time to decide to come back, we put it out on Facebook to let everybody know, but it was because of the injury to Damar Hamlin, who nearly almost lost his life on Monday Night Football this past Monday. You know, we were coming off the loss on Sunday, fully prepared to talk about it on Tuesday. Then this happened, and it was kind of like football seemed to take a back seat. It didn't matter as much. We wanted to make sure that everything was good with Damar Hamlin before we did this podcast. And plus, because there was so many things that were going to be up in the air about, was this game going to be played again? If it was, were all the other week 18 games going to be pushed back a week? So many things to consider. But the primary thing was the health of the safety Damar Hamlin for the Buffalo Bills. We found out today that not only is he off the ventilator, off the tube, he has actually said some words. Yesterday, he wrote down a few words, and it was funny because if one of the first things he did was write to the docs and say, did we win? Which is just crazy to me because he's thinking about the game when the rest of us were worried about his health. And the doctors told him, son, you won the game of life. So that was kind of interesting. But today he got to speak to his teammates and encourage them over Zoom. Sean McDermott made a statement saying that he gave him the heart sign a couple times, which was great. And he just told him he loved him. And so now they can focus on football. It's kind of given the blessing for all of us to kind of now take a breath. All right, the kid's good. We're still going to think about him. He'll still be in our prayers. But, you know, we could take a breath and kind of now get back into the business at hand, which is week 18 of the NFL. Before we talk about the Saints and week 18, I did want to point out for the Eagles, they did this for Damar Hamlin during the week, and I thought this was amazing. They turned the Lincoln Financial Field from green to blue. They lit up the lights everywhere. It's just an amazing sight to see at the link. And that's the thing about the NFL. When something like this happens, we all kind of come together as a one unique family. And it doesn't matter about rivalries. We're all concerned about the players. I thought one of the most amazing sights for the Damar Hamlin thing was watching all the fans walk out together, the Bills and the Bengals fans. Granted, they're not like major rivals, but they were going against each other. And to see people holding hands and praying for the kid in the parking lot in a big group, it was kind of touching for me, and it kind of puts everything into perspective. So, things didn't go our way on Sunday, but we hope that things can turn around this coming Sunday. We've got one last chance at the first seed and a bye in the first week. We hope that that happens, but we're going to talk about that in just 1 second. First of all, we got to talk about the implications, the way it affects the NFL, because they did make a decision today. Troy Vincent put out a 2023 resolution G-1, which was approved at a special league meeting. And basically, to sum it up and not go into too much detail, it's if Buffalo or Cincinnati, the two teams that didn't play 17 games, ends up in the AFC championship game, it will be played at a neutral site. And that's the biggest part of it. It means Kansas City gets a number one seed. I assume they're going to get the bye because they have the higher winning percentage. So that means Buffalo will have to play at home in the first round. I don't know how fair that is, but this is the best result they could give us. The other thing is because had Cincinnati lost to the Bills, Baltimore would have had a shot at the division title. And now that's gone. So what they've done to amend that is if Baltimore beats Cincinnati and the two of them, because of seeding, end up playing in the first round. So it's tough because Baltimore would get the division title based on Cincinnati not having the right winning percentage. I think that's how it works. And then they would toss a coin to, if they end up meeting each other in the first round, to determine which field it would be played on instead of at a neutral site, which is just mind-boggling. So a lot to see. I'm glad the Eagles aren't mixed up in this. Most of all, glad that Damar Hamlin's okay, but glad because I explained these things to my wife. I said, if this were the Eagles, and again, concerned for the kid, but if this were the Eagles and the Eagles and the Cowboys were with one game within each other and we can't play this game on Sunday, and they say, oh, well, because the Cowboys can, We're going to go ahead and give them the division and we're going to toss a coin. It would be a mess. So anyway, just getting back into that, let's talk about the Saints game. I don't really want to, but we have to. It's unfortunate. It is what it is. And we ended up playing the Saints last Sunday, and this is how a lot of us felt. I have a few of these images because, I mean, literally the game for me was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It quite possibly was the worst game of the year for me. I would have to say it was, because after losing to Dallas, which really sucked, the Eagles had a shot at the number one seed against a 6-9 team at home, and they did basically nothing. You know, Gardner Minshew got the start again. The defense in the second half played well, but not so much in the first half. So, I mean, it's like we've got Tony Soprano here. How could this happen? How could this happen? And then I like this meme here. He's probably thinking about other girls, and the one with the guy laying on his side and him. Are the Eagles okay? Because that's me and my household. Whenever I'm moody or depressed, that's me every year. And then if you've seen Silver Linings Playbook and you know Robert De Niro's character as the stereotypical Eagle fan, but the atypical Eagles fan, I love this character, love this guy. He channels all of us. That's what I felt like on Sunday. It was miserable, man. I didn't even yell or show any emotions. I just sank in my chair and just went, what the heck, man? This is what you come out to clinch a number one seed. And it was just not good all the way around. What are your thoughts? We don't need to break the game down because there isn't much to break down. I can say this right off the bat. The Eagles didn't have a first down till the last drive of the first half in the two-minute offense where the Saints were in prevent. They had no first downs. No first downs. All three and outs in the first half. And the defense gives up an eight-minute drive. Mm-hmm. The first possession to New Orleans is the longest drive this season for the New Orleans Saints. Their opening drive against the Eagles that led to a touchdown. That's basically all you really need to know about the game. But what were your perspectives on the game? What are some of the things that just stood out to you on this mess, Tubby?
Well, the number one thing that stood out was, man, the offense just wasn't prepared. Just not at all. You know, and you mentioned the one first down, and got to even mention that one first down came because the interception that the defense got. If not, even that doesn't exist because we get the ball back with 34 seconds to go. So really the offense was completely blanked in the first half. I think the defense gave me a lot of things to worry about in that first half, but just like the rest of the year in the second half, they kind of just do something different. So it was really hard for me to leave that game talking about the defense. I think this came down to finally Gardner Minshew had a little pressure on him. You know, when you play with house money all the time, it's easy to joke around and people talk about your hair flowing at practice. But this was the first time the Eagles said, yo, go win this game. We're not even go win. I felt like the first time he felt pressure in Philadelphia. And he threw as many touchdowns to the other team as he did to our team. You want to talk about, things in a game. I mean, how can you win like that when your quarterback throws just as many touchdowns to the other team as he does to ours, man? So this game was all Gardner to me because the defense pitched a shutout in the second half. So if you give up 13 points as a defense in the NFL, it's going to be really hard when most teams are averaging at least 19 points. So you're six below average. It's going to be really hard to take blame from that game. So I think Gardner played so bad that it kind of had to sit the defense to the side, because after a while, you're just like, man, we aren't doing anything on offense. And then really the game was Gardner Minshew being unprepared, the defense being a little bit of a sieve in the first half, but that second half came down to, one lucky play to AJ, boom, we get that one play. Really the only play you can think, I think about two passes the whole game, the pass to AJ and the pass to the defense for the pick six. That pick six ripped it just gutted me. My stomach just sank down, because you just kind of had that feeling like, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
Because I was optimistic the whole game. Like, well, all right, you know, we got the ball in a few guys' hand. Okay, cool. And then we come out in that second half and move the ball a little bit. So you go, oh, okay. But, man, that was the worst quarterback play we've seen in a long time from anybody wearing an Eagles helmet. And I think it just comes down to what we've been talking about before. It's just, to me, this is the reason why Minshew is the backup. Because, and I said it's beginning of the season, and I said it all last season, this is the NFL. This is a business. This isn't like a popularity contest. If you're good, they come get you, mm-hmm. and they pay for you. That had nothing to do with me. That's just what you see. There has been over, I think they said it was three teams that are on their third quarterback. There's like 10 teams that have started more than three quarterbacks this year. 10 teams mm-hmm. in the NFL. That means guys are dropping like flies, getting hurt. You know, everybody's kind of just limping to this finish, man. So, yeah, man, I just think it really just came down to the offense being unprepared. I know the offensive calls were a little bit iffy to start off with, but when you don't execute any, when you run nine plays and you take three sacks, what can you? It's hard to really determine if the offense can do anything because you're taking a sack every other play. You know, you're not getting the ball away, so it's just like three and out. It just made it hard because they ran a little bit, you know, to start out, and then they started to throw the ball. And then they tried to mix it in, and none of it worked. Like, no matter what they did, whether they started out run heavy, because they start out the miles, you know, and then you take the sack over, right? So even when we say run the ball, well, we came out running miles. He got like, it was like third and two, and then we take the sack, and it's over.
Right.
Now that draws stuff. Then we say, you know, so it was just being unprepared, man. I think Sirianni didn't make a lot of the adjustments. I thought some of the routes were too long when we were struggling. I said, come on, man, just get the ball out of his hands.
Right.
Because the routes sometimes was third downs, like third and two, third and three, and they're running 10-yard routes.
Yes.
And you're just like, look, your quarterback is getting killed. I mean, he took six sacks himself. You know, your quarterback is getting killed. You got to run better routes, or not better routes, but crisper routes. And that's when the AJ started coming in with those slants, and you started seeing Devontae catch more slants, and then just kind of fell in love with that and just threw a ball that just made absolutely no sense to AJ. He was never open. No. It's like he didn't even look.
No, he didn't.
if Jalen throws that pick six, man, Philly erupts. But you could just hear the stadium just go,
yeah.
It was just unbelievable. So me, that was the game, man. That was the game. In the beginning, I was really nervous about the defense. But then in the end, it's like I couldn't say anything about them. That's what's been letting Gannon off the hook all year. That defensive line, man.
It has.
That defensive line has bailed Gannon out so much that it makes it hard from a bottom line perspective. Like I said, the 13 points, it's like, you can talk a lot, but at some point you're going to sound crazy because they only gave up 13 points. That right. makes sense. Versus like a team that gave up 40. You hold the professional football team to 13 points. You could go, good day, defensive coordinator. But we know that's not it.
Exactly.
We know it's fool's gold.
Yes.
So that's why we still talk about the defense. So in a nutshell, man, that was me, man. That's how I felt. Gardner finally had a little pressure, and this was the result of it. It's no way we should have walked out of there not victorious. Not no way.
Right. And this is how all of us felt. Jalen probably felt the worst, being on the sidelines, helpless in the fourth quarter. And this is before the pick six. And he's just watching this team make poor decisions, and including the, you know, doing the rugby scrum with Minshew, and Minshew runs it horribly. Now, we could talk about, oh, the defense was prepared. No. When Jalen runs that rugby scrum, he uses his legs, he puts his head down. Friggin' Minshew ran to that standing straight up. That I was one of the worst quarterback sneaks I'd ever seen. So this is how Jalen felt. This is how all of us felt. And you talked about the defense, and I want to give credit to that front four, five, including Hassan Reddick, doing whatever they could in the second half to get the Eagles the ball back, and then the Eagles don't do much with it in the second half. But here's the thing about that. If you look at the stats, the Saints had a 37-minute time of possession. So you can talk about, hey, Gannon's defense only gave up 13 points, 20 overall with the pick six, but that 37 minutes is Gannon right there. If you look at I know that Andy Dalton only threw 22 passes. He had an 81% completion percentage. Mm-hmm. That is the problem. is that, yeah, he threw for 205 yards. 81%. That means that he's hitting 8 out of 10 passes, no problem. That's unheard of. And it's just, it's unacceptable. And Taysom Hill, 2 for 2 for 24 yards.
And, you know, a lot of the defense, a lot of that offensive possession comes from your offense not having the ball either.
True, like, true.
So it's a double-edged sword. It also tells the tale about your offense as well, too. No first, one first down is just as much of a story as the 82, I guess, percentage, because it's just like, well, you're not even helping. It's the complimentary football. I guess it's where it just complimentary football was not in play for the Eagles, and it was like when the defense was bailing out, then – even you couldn't get a breather. So you got the first three and out, your defense right back out there.
Yeah.
You go another three, they right back out there. Remember, we said that was the problem last year with our offense, was that our offense was, we weren't scoring. We weren't getting touchdowns, and we wouldn't put together long drives until the end of the season. Our defense was getting killed by every quarterback because they were, but you look at the time of possession, we banged on about that a lot last year, time of possession, because we couldn't move the ball.
Right.
And I think it's just the same thing. Like, we also didn't, the offense didn't give the defense a fighting chance.
No.
In that first half. I mean, it was just abysmal. It was abysmal.
It's a combination of things. And you're right. Yeah. The 37 minutes is as much Gannon playing the shell zone against the offense not doing anything with the ball. You saw the stat that just came up, the first quarter stats. He had 3 plays of 2 yards because we only got one possession because the Saints had an 8-minute drive. Then we turned it right back over to them, and they used up all of the first quarter. The Eagles had the ball for 2 minutes in the first quarter. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And then after that opening drive, when you do, like you said, had the 3rd and 2, they just stopped going to Miles. If you look at what happened, you know, this is Miles Sanders talking about scoring just 10 points. The Eagles defense gave up 0 points and 66 yards in the second half, but the Birds couldn't do enough on offense. This is just bad football all around. Offensively, we've got to be better. You can't win games like that. But if you look at this, Eagles ran just 17 plays in the first half and only those 2 rushes for Miles Sanders. That's inexcusable. Oh, yeah. Shut out in the first half for the first time this year. That's inexcusable. So you got, here's what I don't get. We have Shane Steichen, who has been calling plays masterfully most of the year. When we go up against a bad run defense in Green Bay, we run the ball down their throat. When we go up against a poor pass defense, we throw the ball against them. But against the Cowboys, who are weak against the run, we were pass happy. Against the Saints, who are very strong against the run, even with their injuries, they got Marshawn Lattimore out there. We threw the ball 32 times and only rushed Miles Sanders 12 in the entire game. And he averaged 5.1 yards a carry. And crazy, so that really concerns, I think, all of us as Eagles fans, because we have been on text messaging for the last 2 weeks in all caps to each other, run the ball over and over again, because we know that, yeah, if Miles Sanders gets stopped on a first down carry for 2 yards, that doesn't mean you stop running the ball. This is how the game is played. You keep going after them until you break that big one, because they have a reputation for being weak against the run, and there's a reason. Now, of course, the biggest running play of the entire game we know of was called back for this unbelievable holding call that was called on Landon Dickerson, which was a textbook block. I'm tired of the NFL. I'm not going to whine too much on this one, because bad calls happen, and seems to be the last few years they happen more and more frequently. So I'm not going to whine too much, but I will say this. I am sick of the NFL refs determining that if a player falls of his own accord and they don't see it, and they just see somebody's butt hitting the grass, that's a holding call. They have to start looking at the play. It's a knee-jerk reaction that all refs do. Defensive player hits the ground, holding call. That is not holding, sir. I'm sorry. Landon Dickerson did nothing. This guy is reaching while he is engaged in a block with Dickerson, reaching for a man that he is out of his reach in Gainwell, and he falls to the ground. This cost the Eagles the game just as much as the pick six did. It did. It's over now. We can't do anything about it. We move on. about the pick six. There's been a lot of controversy. We got to talk about this. AJ Brown threw Gardner under the bus because he was taking a little bit of heat for not coming back to the ball. And I'm going to say this right now. I agree with AJ Brown. BS. That is not his responsibility. That is the quarterback's responsibility, especially when AJ is yelling at him. They change the coverage. They change the coverage. And our quarterback doesn't recognize or listen or look at his wide receivers. So, AJ, this has been happening now since Gardner's taken over this team. We didn't have this earlier in the season when it was Jalen's team. We didn't have this infighting and throwing under the bus. But you got Dallas and New Orleans week to week. Now we're starting to fight amongst each other. And you got to know that it's all coming from this quarterback who is not a leader. He is not taking control of this team. He's not taking responsibility for it. Or he would have said to the media, this wasn't AJ's fault. This was on me. So AJ went, it's on him.
You know what this also goes back to? And I'm going to just be a little dramatic for a second. You remember last year when Gardner Minshew walks into, he beats the Jets.
Yeah.
Right? He walks into Sirianni's office and, he basically said, I'm better than Jalen. I should be starting. You know, you can say all the cute stuff like, you basically walk in there like, why is this guy playing when you have me? Right. So, you get a hold of it in the media. It ripples. And then, you got Nick Sirianni saying, nah, we're good there. But then remember I said in the offseason, I said, man, you got to get rid of a guy like that because no matter what is going to create this bubble. This guy just asked for your job. When you were hurt, just 1 week, and all of a sudden this guy's asking for your job. Hurts. I'm just putting it to reality. Hurts picked up the phone because apparently AJ Brown is just one of his closest friends, right? Mm-hmm. So even last year, he calling AJ in Tennessee. You hear this stuff, man. You hear this guy. I mean, mind you, we're talking about friends. We're not talking about the media stuff. We're talking about real friends picking up the phone and saying, yo, you hear this stuff in the media about old buddy asking for my job. And then you come out here, right? And then, if you're AJ, you see your boy getting a little slighted by this guy who has proven nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
I agree.
Where is this benefit of the doubt coming from? Because you saw him play a couple times, which once again, no pressure. You in Philly now. Philly comes with playing pressure. It's not, you can win, but in Philly, you got the pressure as well. So when you win, it's even like more impressive because you've played under immense scrutiny from the whistle from the start until you leave. The Philly fans are critiquing everything because that's just how we are. That's just what we do. So now you get this shot, right? You got this guy that comes in that thinks that he should be playing over your boy, and he plays terrible. That wasn't the first time. I remember even before he threw the long touchdown to AJ, remember he took off his helmet, mm-hmm. rolled his eyes like, what is this guy doing? What is he doing? Mm-hmm. I'm wide open. He can't get me the ball. This is your king. Like, why is all this hype going on? Why are we going through all of this? I wanted Gardner Minshew. So I just think that's what AJ Brown was doing. Like, I don't mess with dude anyway. This is a guy that tried to get my homeboy's job. I'm right. Just keeping it real.
Good point. Good point.
Because I would go to bat for my homeboy too. I would be like, man, who the hell is this dude asking for my boy's job? Disrespecting my guy if he plays one time. Fall in line. Let the coaches play you when they want to play you.
Yep.
Right? That's let the coaches, if the coaches thought you should be playing, sir, you will be playing. It's the NFL. Jalen Hurts is not on some big contract where they owe him anything. Jalen, nobody owes Jalen anything. He's probably one of the lowest paid quarterbacks. You want to go for pay versus output? Right. It's this year? Oh man. We're getting him for cheap. We're getting him at those Russell Wilson prices in Seattle.
For now.
For now. Yep. Right. But this is just the whole point. Yeah. Like, they're not just playing Jalen because they have to. He wasn't the number one overall pick. He was a second round draft pick. You don't owe anybody outside of the top 10 anything, really.
Right.
You get me? Like, those top three quarterbacks. That's why you hear so much about Zach Wilson, because where he was drafted. Oh, yeah. If Zach Wilson was drafted in the fourth round, they would have already just moved on. But you had to continue to justify to your fan base why you picked this person in this spot. And that's why it hurts so much. Yeah. That's why Rager over Jefferson hurts so much, because you have to justify picking up Rager in the first round. That's the whole point. It's not even Justin Jefferson. It's how did you pick this guy in the first round?
Yeah.
Period.
I hear you.
Period. Somebody has negative points. How does he go first?
Yeah.
So I wanted, so just to put it, bring it all in, man, I wanted Gardner Minshew to win this game so bad for so many reasons, not because there would have been quarterback controversy, because I think after the Dallas game, people were just kind of like, we'd rather have Jalen. I think it was kind of dead after that.
Yeah.
We needed him to win so that the Eagles players don't start to hate him. Yeah. That was the last thing you needed.
Right.
So now you have this riff, and then it can overinflate Jalen.
Right.
There's a lot of things here. We, the Eagles fans, whether they know it or not, you needed Gardner Minshew to win that game against the Saints. And it just wasn't for, getting all philosophical here, but it wasn't just for the number one seed. It was for team unity. It was for team unity. That broke the team unity. When you watch the body language on the sideline against that Saints game, the players are hanging their heads. They're frustrated. They're cussing in the media. They weren't cussing all year. Now they're cussing. They're frustrated. And what is the only difference?
Minshew. It is a great point.
Sorry to go around the block on that, but I just wanted to bring it in. Like, this is why you're going to get smoke from AJ, because he's close friends with Jalen.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And the thing is that I think that, like you said, it inflates Jalen, because now you can't say he's not the MVP when this is, you know, the stat you get. We've got the drop off between the two. The first 14 games, the Eagles' total QBR was 69. With Minshew, it's 38. Yards per rush, 4.8 as a team total, under Minshew, 3.5. We know he can't move with the ball. He's not mobile. He can't take off with it. He's easy to defend. And then you've got PBWR is 64 to 54%. It's unbelievable the difference between the two in just two games. And so it does make Jalen come off better. I do think, though, I know that it hurts the team cohesiveness right now, but I think that's why it's so important that Jalen plays on Sunday. And I know that we've got to risk an injury, but I think it's important, no matter what, that he gets out there to reunite the team, that they have a good team, whether the Giants play their starters or not, that he gets out there. Right now, the current situation is that the Jalen is on trending in the right direction, is what we heard from Sirianni today, to play on Sunday, which is about as ambiguous as you could freaking get and drives me up the wall. But I'll take it. Yeah. We'll see. I do think he plays. I don't think they can afford to trot Minshew out there and have him lose again and cost the Eagles the number one seed. Because let's face it, no matter who the starting quarterback is in Washington, Dallas is winning that game. So I think they're going to win that game. Washington has nothing to play for. In fact, their coach didn't even know they were eliminated. Ron Rivera had to be told at the press conference they were out. That's, to me, you're not a good coach. You're going to have a problem. I don't think he may be there next year. He might. I hope he's there next year. Keep friggin' Riverboat Ron out there and jacking up the Commanders. I don't care. But it's important that we don't trot Minshew out there. If they do, and he's playing against backups and lose again, oh my God. Well, I already think Minshew is going to be moved on. I don't think a team will pick him up to be a starter, but I don't think the Eagles are going to want him hanging around as a backup next year. I think he has another year. I'm not sure, but I don't see how this relationship can survive. I just say this, you know, Dak Prescott goes down in week one, and Cooper Rush comes in off the bench and wins three games and loses to Philly, does an amazing job, but he didn't have to do that much. They didn't put a lot on him. So you can kind of put this on the Eagles coaches, because honestly, when Gardner came in for those two games, they should have focused on defense. They should have focused on the run game and don't make Gardner the center of attention. They basically pasted Jalen's offense over Gardner's face and said, hey, run it. And that's not his offense. And so Gardner's a victim in this too. It's just a bad, bad situation. So we need a backup, to me, that complements Jalen and doesn't try to be Jalen. So we'll see where that goes. But you're right. The Eagles cursing in the press conferences. This was Jason Kelsey saying he couldn't give two Fs about clinching the bye week, that they have a lot to fix. And in a way they do. The defense has to start coverage got to be better. We got to get guys back. We had Josiah Scott out there again. We don't have Avante Maddox. So there's issues there on the offensive side of the ball. We don't have Lane Johnson. So, of course, they're going to give up more sacks. They gave up 6 sacks to the Saints, which is frustrating. So that's something we have to put up with. It's just something you got to deal with. On a bright note, before we get into the Giants game and talking about it, the Eagles, with Brandon Graham's 10th sack of this season, the Eagles are the only team in NFL history to have 4 players with 10 or more sacks. We talked about this during the preview. That is amazing. So we know this, is that one of the things we've got is our saving grace, is this front five. These guys are dominant right now, and it's awesome to see. Now, one of the front five, unfortunately, was injured during the Saints game in what looked like a bad injury. He had his neck bent backwards. He was taken to a local hospital for precautionary reason. He still had movement in all his extremities. But what's funny is I got next to that on this page. Nick Sirianni said to Josh Sweat, showed up for practice on Monday, and he said, in quotes, "He is probably going to bug me to play this week, but we'll see." And that doesn't surprise me at all. Josh Sweat's going to be – I don't think we'll see Josh Sweat on Sunday. I don't think that's a possibility. But it's great that he wants to be out there. There's a possibility we could get Robert Quinn back. He's been activated into his practice window. Mm-hmm. He needs to show us something. So with Sweat out, we need Quinn to get on the field and show he's 100% healthy and do some things. But going back to the defense and real quick and talking about the front five and what they do, I do want to mention our defensive coordinator one more time real quick. And this is, again, what has always concerned me. They were talking about Hassan Reddick's performance this year and the amount of sacks that he gets. And Jonathan Gannon said, quote, "If I didn't drop him into coverage so much, he'd probably have 25 sacks on the season." Boy, this guy doesn't realize when he says something that angers Eagles fans. And this is something that angers Eagles fans, because the first thing that I want to say to that is, then stop dropping him into coverage. Hassan Reddick is not a coverage linebacker. He is a blitzing linebacker that can control run gaps and get to the quarterback. But Gannon's dumbass scheme, we've talked about it, doesn't allow for that. So he takes the teeth away from the defense. But there was something else that Jonathan Gannon said discussing the defense that really annoyed me. He said that everything that they try to control, the two things they focus on the Eagles defense, this is what Jonathan Gannon said, is controlling breakout plays and disrupting the quarterback. To me, that is not what the defensive coordinator should be focused on. He's so worried about breakout plays. Mm-hmm. His primary focus, in my opinion, and all defensive coordinators' focus, in my opinion, is get the defense off the field. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about breakout plays. Get them off the field. Breakout plays and deep passes and long runs happen 3 or 4 times a game, maybe. They can change the outcome of a game, but they're high percentage. Control what you can control and get after a team. Put them on their backs. But he doesn't think that way. He thinks, and the funny thing is saying that affecting the quarterback, I said disrupting, affecting the quarterback. The only thing he's ever done to affect the quarterback is affect him positively. Because every quarterback we faced has a 70% completion percentage or higher. And that's ridiculous to me. So going into this game against the Giants, I've got no choice. He's our defensive coordinator for now. We got to deal with it. But it always is a concern. It just always is for me. And it will be going into the playoffs. It will come down to what kind of defensive scheme and adjustments that Jonathan Gannon makes that dictates whether the Eagles advance in the playoffs, even at home with a first round bye or whatever, or even if, God forbid, they're the 5th seed. I can't even imagine that, playing in the wild card game. But this is what we've got to deal with. Coming up, week 18, January 8th. Sunday, 4:25, we're playing the same time as the Cowgirls, so we got to deal with that. The news out of New York is that the Giants are expected to sit their key starters. That means no Daniel Jones, no Saquon Barkley. That's not 100%. They're not going to say that right off the bat, but that's what everybody is kind of leaking the information that they're it. To be honest, it doesn't make any sense for them to play their starters. Number one, we beat the blue off of them a few weeks ago, 48-22, just destroyed them. Do you really want to play the Eagles with all your starters in this game where the Eagles need it to clinch, and you're going into your last week of the season and you get the blue beat off you again right before the playoffs? Do you want to do that to your team's morality? You know, as far as their morale, I'm sorry. You know, do you want to make them freaking hang their heads because and have no confidence? So Daboll's not stupid. And number two, since you can't move up or move back in your playoff seeding, why would you risk Saquon Barkley to have a freak injury and then your playoff is done before they even begin? On the Eagles, we know what's up for grabs. We know it's a number one seed and a first-round bye. So you know their starters are going to be playing at least three quarters until the game is in hand or whenever. But for the Giants, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't expect it. I don't expect it to, which makes this game even more important.
Right,
makes it even more freaking crucial if they lose. It's going to be so embarrassing if the Eagles don't win this game against backups.
Yeah. You know, I think the heartbreak would be you work so hard all season to get a 13-1 record. You put yourself right there in the driver's seat. You have an injury to your starting quarterback. And then you go, okay, well, when you look at your schedule, you go, all right, we have some winnable games. And then that doesn't happen. You know, we thought we still could beat Dallas. I thought we still could beat Dallas. And I think without the turnovers, we would. And I thought we could have beat the Saints. But I also didn't predict our offense could only muster 13 points. I would have never saw that coming. With most of our people, you know, being healthy with the exception of Lane Johnson. Because, you know, Driscoll, most of the sacks still coming from that right side. Even when he was getting sacked. I mean, Driscoll's getting just killed over there for the most part. But, you know, when it comes to Jalen Hurts, and it's just like, you know, when do you give him his bye week? You know, do you give it to him this week or do you give it to him next week? And, you know, you made a good point about, you know, it's so hard. You made a good point about man, if we trot Gardner out there and lose again, man, it would just be ridiculous. And you got a Jalen that hasn't played in about 5 weeks. So then there could be rust in the playoffs. But I'm just like, man, I'm still just, man, it's just, I'm not 100% on starting Jalen. I'm just really not, particularly against the B squad. I'm just like, man, if we trot our ones out there, how shouldn't we? If that's put Ian Brooks out there, see what he does. I don't know, man. But I would just, the only reason why I say that, because when you hear, you got the fans, you have the teams, when you listen to the docs say he should be out one more week. That's my problem. And they say this is an injury that if it goes further, most people break their collarbone because you don't have the muscle. Remember when I texted you when I went down, I said, man, that's one of those plays that'll snap your collarbone. So the play was a collarbone snap. It just did. He was just strong enough to just, he had so much muscle there that it didn't snap his collarbone. But the docs, when you listen to them on TV, you're the experts. You know, sports guy, they said, hey, he needs another week. Even LeSean McCoy was talking about he's had this in both shoulders. And he still played. But I'm like, you're not throwing the football, though, sir. You need the rotation because now that's affecting the pass. Then Jalen go out there throwing picks. And you're just like, oh, why is he throwing picks? Because his shoulders. It's that rotation in his shoulder. He was running off of adrenaline against Chicago. So I would just, because then it would feel like our season is over. No matter what happens on Sunday, our season is not over. But Jalen getting hurt on Sunday? Our season's over. You know, or it would be improbable for us to make a run to the playoffs, only based off of the sample size that we saw in Minshew in the last two games. I just think the fan base will be down about it. And then now, because Jalen's going to just play. He's going to just play however he feels like he should play. And if he makes that run like he knows he will, because that's what got him to this point, and he takes another freak hit from some backup trying to prove something, yeah. Then we go in the playoffs without Jalen. It's just like, fuck, man. I just really, that's the only part, man, that's just, If he goes down on Sunday, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because I'm under the mindset like, you know what, man, the first round bye would be amazing, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. You still have to win, man. You still have to go play hard-nosed football, and we just need a confident team going in there. Even if they beat the ones, even if they beat Giants twos, I don't think that gives the Eagles necessarily confidence. I just need to just go, whew, you more exhale. Yeah. You know, you say like when you're great, you don't celebrate. When you win, you more so are relieved of right. the stress mm-hmm. from being great in the expectations of them. So it's just, man, I just really, Jalen needs to start. I get that. We need to win this game. I get that. But man, if he aggravates that any further, wow. Cause so who would get the first round? Let's say the Eagles did, and I don't even want to, but maybe the Niners or something like that.
Niners,
like,
the only ones eligible would be the Niners or the Cowboys. If the right. Niners win, I believe they get it. If the Cowboys win and the Niners lose, then it's the Cowboys. Okay. And so that means the Cowboys would get all their teams at home where their refs are paid. I had to say that. We've seen dubious officiating in Dallas, Texas. So
is there a tiebreaker there, or do Niners hold the
I do believe it's lead. The Niners. I do believe. Okay. Now, I could be wrong.
We lose and Niners win, and the Niners will go there.
Yes. Okay.
So let's say the Niners, it bumps us down to what, number two seed? No, number three seed.
No. If Dallas wins, we lose the division. We're five.
Five?
Yes.
Oh, because you got the four division
winners. So we don't even get a home game. We go to Tampa Bay. If Tampa Bay wins the division, I think they've already won it. I believe Tampa Bay has already won the South. So Tampa Bay has nothing to play for. Against Brady at Tampa Bay, the same place where we lost last year. No, sir. And that's the thing is, I get it.
Yeah.
If Jalen goes down, our season's over. If Jalen doesn't play, our season could be potentially over. I'm not saying we can't go into Tampa Bay and win. I'm just saying I like rolling the dice and saying, let Jalen go out there. And if he can't throw or if he's having difficulty, then we got to pull him. Mm-hmm. Give him a shot. Teach him to slide. Because I don't want to take away his leg.
Slid on that play. That guy,
he had a dove. He was diving. He was diving for the position. I get it.
Yeah.
But he will need in the future. He's going to need to start taking some sliding lessons because he doesn't do it very often. But it is a risk that it's up to Jalen to take it. It's not up to me. It's not up to the coaches. Well, it is up to the coaches if they feel he's not physically ready. They're saying he's trending that way. They said tomorrow's practice will tell them everything they need to know, and we'll see at 4:25 if he trots out there. I just don't have the faith in Minshew that I think he can get it done, even against backups. I think the team is lifeless when he's out there. The loss against Dallas and the two interceptions, the bad handoff, I don't think, in my opinion, I could be wrong, I don't think Minshew rallied the team after that loss like Jalen does. I just don't feel it. I feel they left that game defeated and deflated, and they weren't ready to play against the Saints because no one got him back up. Now, you could say the coaches should have got him back up, but QB1 has to tell them, hey, we're going to get this done. And if the team doesn't believe in you, if your receivers don't believe in you, your running backs don't believe in you, you ain't getting it done. And I just, that's why I think it is, we'll see what happens. I don't want Jalen to get hurt.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. But talking
picking
about
the team up.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. I was just going to make that point. On your point. Picking the team up. I guess that's one of the things. Sorry, it was so much drama in the media, man. You know, did you hear how upset Chris Sims got? Because all they did was show him his own receipts. Oh. All they did, you know what I'm talking about, when Chris Sims was like, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, those guys are way more important to their team. If you put Gardner Minshew in there, there's no drop-off, something of this sort.
Yeah.
All they told him was, hey, did you see what you wrote? Mm-hmm. Did you hear his reaction?
No, I didn't see that. I don't watch the mainstream sports media anymore.
I think it was like CBS or whatever. I don't know what it was.
I think he's on CBS. I think he's on
CBS. So it's probably like CBS or something like that. But he lashed out at us. Mm. But this is what I say. When you play with house money, you can have people just say you're better than somebody else with no proof. And then you can still get that hype. And then you prove them wrong. And then they just cuss you out about just telling them. So that's when I say, Chris Sims, what that showed is the epitome of implicit bias. Yep. Just to just say, Gardner can do it. You know how disrespectful that is? Chris Sims, you've never led a team 13-1 in your life. You rolling off your daddy's name.
He barely had a career.
We know your father, sir. Yep. So here you are. Here you have a guy who has won nothing, who has done nothing, who couldn't come to Jalen Hurts' house and take out of his trash. Can't take out Jalen Hurts' trash. He's never led a team like this. Yep. Never wore that captain C on your chest like this. Never had guys fly into town and high-profile athletes because you're that guy. Never. Nobody even knows who you are unless you make hot takes. And all we, but the crazy thing, he reacted like a petulant child.
Yeah.
When all they did was say, they roasted him. He was trending. He got mad because he was trending off of his own words. So you'll make the statement to become popular. But when we hold you accountable for it, it's I'm wrong. I'm being aggressive. Basically tell everybody to F off.
Yeah.
And that is the whole point. You can put that noise, you can put that stank out there of just anybody can do it. And you know how disrespectful that is because no, anybody can't lead an NFL team.
He couldn't do it.
13-1. This is the pros. Yep. I have to remind people that even when Jalen runs the ball across the touchdown, everybody dreams about that, man. This is you scoring a touchdown in the NFL. Not high school, not even college, which is college is still amazing. Can you imagine scoring a touchdown in college, the crowd. You're scoring in the NFL and people are just going, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that was just what just the little things that Jalen deals with and all the pressure. And it's what kills Minshew as well, too, because he has these people out here just making up stories about him. And when he can't cash those checks that he's not even writing. He's not even writing them.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has to cash them. So I just wanted to make that point. You said rallying them around. And it's more than just going out and playing football. It's also being a leader as well, too. Yeah. Doesn't matter what what his record is. It's who you are in the locker room. And you see the body language after that game, that's not a player that the Eagles want leading them.
Right. And so the point to make here, and I think we could probably agree with this, if Jalen Hurts doesn't get injured at Chicago and he plays at Dallas and at home against New Orleans, I think there's no doubt in our minds as Eagles fans, for the most of us, they win those games.
At least one.
I think they win both of them. I think they win the Dallas game.
They win both, but at least win one. We know we beat the Saints.
Exactly.
Jalen has a history of beating the Saints.
So when you take that into consideration, the team knows it too. And they're like, this is why I think it's important that Jalen, if he's healthy, that he gets out there and they don't rest him. If he can go, then let him go. But as far as like Chris Sims and the national media, I this year has been really, it was bad in 17 when, I actually saved an article that said about the Eagles. They said, congratulations, Eagles, on getting to the Super Bowl, and your reward is a loss from the New England Patriots. And then the whole article went about how they didn't deserve to be there, and how New England was going to run all over them. And it went through the whole season. And that kind of deflated me. This season, when the Eagles were clearly, one of the best teams, and the disrespect that they've served in the national media, which has become more like politics than it is about sports anymore. It's all politics. And I don't mean the social stuff. I'm talking about who they root for. If you're not Green Bay, if you're not San Francisco, if you're not New York Giants, if you're not the Dallas Cowboys, if you're not one of those teams, you can throw the Steelers in there as well. Mm-hmm. If you're not one of the marquee teams that makes the most money and sells the most jerseys, you are nothing. You are nothing. It doesn't matter if you're 13-1. We are going to treat you like you're 8-8. You are nothing to the national. So this year I said, I've had enough. I expected some respect. I don't know why. But midway through the season, it was only so much I could take for the Eagles to be undefeated and turning on every single sports show that says, oh, it's because of their schedule. And that was it. I was done. So that's why I didn't see Chris Sims. But it doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't surprise me that he got called on it. Look at freaking Skip Bayless, who gets called on the carpet. Now, I didn't think his tweet was that insensitive. But here's the problem. Shannon Sharp did take it very sensitive, and he tries to tell Skip Bayless that, but Skip Bayless can't even let him get the words out of his mouth. and he's got to defend himself. And that's when these journalists, these so-called journalists, have become more important than the game. Skip Bayless and all those guys, Colin Cowherd, all of them.
It's always those type of guys that didn't really make it.
Exactly. They've never done anything. Well, Shannon Sharpe even pointed that out to Skip, and he got all upset about it. Chris Sims didn't make it. And so here's the thing is that they think that they are more important to the game because of what they bring to the table. But I tell you what, son, when you leave, when you are gone, even one of my favorites, Chris Berman, a lot of people don't like him. I like Chris Berman. When he's gone, you're gone. No one remembers you. Howard Cosell was a legend in the 70s when I was growing up. Nobody talks about Howard Cosell these days. Nobody talks about Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football. Nobody talks to us about these past great sports broadcasters. You remember a few. You remember a few. But yet guys like Skip Bayless think they are bigger than the game. Yeah. Guys like Chris Sims think they're bigger than the game.
And they're not.
Exactly.
The social media platforms have just...
Exactly. Man,
it's elevated them. I mean, we can go on and on. Yes. If anything, I'm willing to just go on the slip, you know, just say, like, I believe that you do have commentators, period.
Yeah.
That have become more important than the game. And, you know, I think the ones that particularly piss me off are the ones that never played. Now, if you have a panel of guys that have all played football and they're talking about football, talk away, especially if half of them Hall of Famers and whatnot. Remember when that CBS panel, you had like Dion, Shannon Sharp, you had all these Hall of Famers, Dan Marino, and you just sit back and you go, huh, those are Hall of Famers. I'm going to listen. And they never became bigger than the game because they were the game. But you'll have these guys now that'll talk so much stuff and show up to the game like they're playing.
Yeah.
They'll show up like people paid to get through that turnstile to see them.
Joe Buck.
To see them dunk.
Joe Buck.
You got Stephen A. Smith that think he probably as big as LeBron. And it's just like, no, they pay to see LeBron. But you see Stephen A. walking around the arena. He got his chest all poking out. I'm just like, damn, all of this just for talking trash. Like all of this for just being hyperbolic every day of your life. And it works, you know, and just all of them do it, man. Skip, if Skip can't talk about LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Brady, he just goes straight for the top. He's shameless. Skip is shameless about his business. He don't care about your little team. He's going to talk about his Cowboys. He's going to talk about all ultra stars and talk bad about them and hope he can get respect. You notice that Tom Brady has never given Skip Bayless an interview. LeBron James has never given Skip Bayless an interview. LeBron James has never given Stephen A. Smith an interview. They don't come on these guys' shows. Kevin Durant, they don't come on these guys' shows. They don't like them because they try to be bigger than the ones actually doing it and winning rings.
Exactly.
And I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of the media trying to be bigger than the players. And it's out of envy. You're not doing the gritty like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson scores an NFL touchdown, which is one of the hardest things to do, and then he does a gritty.
Right.
Because he just, you know, 11 other men was out there trying to kill him, and he still got to pay dirt.
Right.
That's why he does the gritty, because it's the most dangerous sport I've ever seen, man. Before they changed the rules to now, football was unquestionably the most dangerous and high-profile sport. And I'm going to just ramble a little bit. My time in England when I played football, and I was the quarterback, those rugby guys could just come over, and they thought it was the same. So you come up and you try to rugby tackle me, but I lower my shoulder pads that you're not used to having, or my helmet, and I, boom, knock you backwards, and you're on your back because you tried to rugby tackle me on American football, and you're on your back now because you thought the games were the same or it's just as tough. They're two different games, bro. Football is high contact, man. These guys are taking shots that there's a reason why they have all that equipment on and rugby players don't. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, so when all is said and done, it does. We've had our share of injuries. We got Lane Johnson out into the playoffs. We want to get Jalen Hurts back. We've just gotten Dallas Goedert back. We need to get Avante Maddox back. Could get Robert Quinn back. One of the guys we haven't mentioned as far as injuries, CJ Gardner-Johnson's practice window is open. He is trending toward playing on Sunday. It looks very much like he may be playing. Then if we can win this game, you get that week bye. Just think of what you get back. You probably get Avante Maddox back and Lane Johnson and Josh Sweat. probably all three get back because they're not going to miss a playoff game. So you end up playing at home in front of your home crowds. The energy will be insane. So it doesn't even matter who the Eagles face. Spoiler alert, I hope it's Dallas. But again, I can't count them having that. I'm just saying that they have to. They cannot lose three in a row. So the bottom line is, if they lose three in a row, then they don't deserve it. And we'll move on. If they lose three in a row, we move on. I will be devastated. I'll be upset. I'll be angry. I'll be all of those things. But we will move on. So we will find out at 4 o'clock on Sunday, January 8th. Giants, second stringers, who cares? First stringers, mix, whatever. Come into Philly at the Link. Eagles still have number one seed on the line. Thank you for all for turning into the Where Eagles Dare podcast live stream, or whether that's on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. We also want to thank our regular listeners that are on Amazon Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Podcaster, Castro, so many others. So if you have a question or comment for us, you just want to say hi, give us a shout out. We always like that. You can email us at our email address. It's lee.byrd, that's L-E-E.B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. It has been a rough couple of weeks, a rough couple of holiday weeks, but it didn't let us ruin our holidays, but it came pretty close. But with all that being said, they still have one more chance at getting this number one seed. And if they do, all is forgiven. All is good, and we can move forward. And with that being said, I'm going to tune it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out to the Where It Was There podcast. It's your boy, Tubby, rocking always with Lee, man. I think I'm, at the end of the day, I have to agree with you. If it's for the taking, then we have to put our best team out there, our best 11, our best 22. And win this game. Because if we lose to Tyrod Taylor, I'm going to be really upset going into the playoffs. Because that's going really, really, especially our ones. If Tyrod come out and shreds your ones, you're not going to be on Gannon's head. So far, I'm just going to remain calm and cool. Eagles over the Giants, 30-10. We ride into the playoffs. Number one seed. Hopefully well-rested. Get Lane Johnson back and all that good stuff. And yeah, man. Continue on this journey, man. And as always, fly. Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Beat New York. We'll see you guys next week. Cross our fingers. Let's go.